so much hair for a newborn. We need to start planning his baptism and his holiday outfit and, ooh, his birthday party.
Sure, but, how long are you planning to stay?
If you're one of those who goes to meet your newborn nephew and stays until his first birthday party, switch to Cricket Wireless. Use your phone as many days as you want in Mexico without extra cost. Smile. You're on Cricket. Requires eligible plan. Minimum $55 per month. Data speed usage and other restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. See store for details.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are so pleased you are with us. Lonely? Moody? Depressed? Let's mainly look tonight at lonely. How do you feel, and what do you do about feeling lonely? So what is the answer? The answer is to stay with us and find out more about what the Bible has to say. Now, let's get started by welcoming Pastor Charles and having him join us right now. Pastor, how are you today?
Doing pretty well, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, it's sort of funny, as you were doing that intro, I was thinking, you know, we should have changed our intro music. We should have found something from the Moody Blues, you know, just, you know, moody and blue. I mean, how much more lonely could you get than that? But anyway, I think we can discuss some things, look at what the Bible has to say, and find some ways to offer encouragement and some paths to move along. It's, you know, a lot of times it's nothing more than how you look at something sort of frames your day when you start off. Now, for example, I mean, we had some great spin doctors in the house this past weekend. By that, of course, I refer to the fact that, as some of you know who listened last week, we had a great big vote here in the greater Houston area, Harris County. And I was intrigued on Sunday morning hearing on the news of the incredible turnout. It was over 80% in favor of the bond issue that was out there. And I agree, it was an incredible turnout. We had 0.025% of the people who actually voted. And 0.025%, it's hard to get, you know, massive turnout from that. But if you're a spin doctor, you know, you don't let the facts get in the way. And it was an overwhelming amount of people in favor of it, at least of the 0.025% of the people who voted. I know at my precinct I had worked polls, and, you know, it was amazing pacing yourself, you know, because polls open for 12 hours, and we took our 39 votes and spread them out over those, you know, 12 hours so we didn't get overwhelmed. How was it in your area? Was it equally overwhelming?
Pastor, as you know, I'm president of my neighborhood, so I put out a bulletin, you know, be sure to vote today. And so my wife and I, it's within walking distance. One of the things, I guess, that really intrigues me is we have two neighborhoods side by side. The elementary school where we vote's between the two of them. It took us about, maybe 3 minutes to walk to the elementary. It took about 3 minutes to get checked in, and took about 3 minutes to look at the ballot and vote. We were home a total of 12 minutes later. There was no one else voting at the time. I asked the officials, I said, which one of you is the judge? And we talked for a moment, and then I said, has it been very busy? And they just smiled and shook their head. It was abysmal. It was a terrible turnout.
Yeah.
And it just astounds me. It's Saturday. Most people are home. How hard is it to go walk to the end of your block and vote? It couldn't have taken more than 10 or 15 minutes. And so it was sad, but it's typical, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, we're saying the 0.025. We're talking about the low turnout that came on Saturday. But lest anybody have the idea that that's the percentage of who voted Saturday and said, what about the early voting? No, that included the early voting, the 0.025. The it just was poor attendance. And I think people become complacent. I heard one person say the people who actually voted were the ones who had had flood damage. Well, more than 0.025 of the population had flood damage, believe me. It was a major impact storm we had. And this, ironically, vote took place on the anniversary of the hurricane and the flooding that we had
right.
a year ago. So
yeah.
If anything, it should have been fresh in people's minds. But the bond did pass, and so everybody can feel warm and fuzzy knowing they'll never see an excess drop of water. Everything will be fine and wonderful. And as you look out in your yards and the water rising, you know, you go outside and feel free to pet the unicorn. He'll be very friendly as he comes by, I'm sure. You know, it's just an interesting thing. I'm sure they're going to do a wonderful job with it. But, you know, I do think people should be more involved. You know, because it's easy to complain about things. It takes just a little bit more effort to step out there and express your view. And the easiest and most powerful view that any citizen has is when they cast their vote. And as Jim said, you know, he was able to walk to the polls. In my neighborhood, we don't walk to the polls. We don't like to get mugged. But, you know, we still drive to the poll relatively quickly. And talked to somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, that had a question about vote by mail. Very simple process. In fact, if you live in Harris County, Texas, then you can just dial 713-755-3150, and they can take care of getting you a vote-by-mail ballot. That's good for 1 year, by the way. It doesn't mean you use that one ballot all year long, but they will send you one for every election that's taking place within the year. So it's not too late to do one for the coming election in November. You could also, January 1 of next year, you could do the same thing. Probably wouldn't want to help that day, because I imagine they'll take New Year's Day off. But again, that's 713-755-3150. There are people who are shut-ins, maybe have transportation issues. Maybe it's flooding where you're at. So, you know, this would be a way to alleviate that issue. And so just bear that in mind as a possibility. By the way, Jim, we got a couple of exciting things going on. I know it sounds like we're talking more than usual, but we've got an hour. But... You do know what today is, by the way. There's two major events taking place today. So, I mean, if you guess either one of them, I will be appropriately impressed.
Wow. Let's see.
Can I give you a hint?
Please do.
Here comes. Now,
well,
just lest anybody be fearful, I said the last day of the tour and we're through. That does not mean we're going off the air. No, we're going to be here. So what's the hint tell you about today?
Well, let me just say that you've picked a great song. Who doesn't love songs about Houston? All the way back to Dean Martin sang about it. But that was Larry Gatlin. He's a native Houstonian. And his brothers. And he played football at the University of Houston, and well-loved and well-liked. So would this be the city of Houston's birthday?
Oh, right. You got it. I think that's awesome.
With one hint, 1836, is that right?
That is correct.
Wow,
and
I don't know how I remember that.
All right, here's a good one for you. Who is Augustus Chapman Allen and John Kirby Allen?
I've got this too, Pastor. The Allen brothers, there is a place in downtown Houston called Allen's Landing. They're the ones who founded Houston. How's that?
Excellent. Boy, you are impressive. And despite their tainted past, and by that I mean, of course, they came from the North, they were Yankees. But, you know, in spite of that, they done good. They bought some swamp land and managed to resell major portions of it. And so it's, they did good. What is it? Our greater metropolitan area is, what, 8,778 square miles? A little smaller than Massachusetts, but larger than New Jersey. That is the greater Houston area. And depending who you're talking to, we have a little more than 4 million in population.
Wow.
Heard somebody just recently said they are sort of like redefining what constitutes the area, and if you do that, they're pulling in a little more geographics because of the all the commuting that takes place. So that's why I say, depending who you talk to, most people believe it's around 4 million in population. I've heard some recent numbers saying 7 million in population. So
wow.
It is really, really pretty amazing. In fact, at one time, we were the capital of Texas, and there was just basically some disagreements. There, apparently some people did not like mosquitoes, so they left town. And they moved it up to, actually, I was trying to remember the other name for it at the time, Waterloo, Texas, in the Hill Country. Do you know where Waterloo, Texas is?
I don't. I first thing when you were saying that came to mind was Washington on the Brazos was our capital at one time, right?
Well, I mean, that's it was a working capital. How about that? That's where Sam Houston organized a country, a constitution, and an army all at once while some boys were over there holding some ground in a place called San Antonio de Bejar. But Waterloo, Texas, later changed its name. Maybe that's what was throwing you. They changed it and named it after a fellow named Sam Houston. Or, sorry, Austin. Austin is what the city became. So, if you know, if we can say in Texas we have had a Waterloo, but we fared better than Napoleon. We renamed it to Austin and took off from there. So for everybody in Houston and the surrounding areas, and if you're just a wannabe Houstonite, go ahead and celebrate today. It's birthday time. In fact, let's do it proper.
We made you a birthday cake. If you get a tummy ache and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
See, I love that
we
song.
We spare all expense. Isn't that great? Yeah.
We certainly do.
Going down memory lane, by the way, you know, we had a few tech problems about a week ago, and we got our staff of highly skilled experts involved in it. And I have to admit, I was ready to complain. And then when the email came back, I noticed that the person's name from the help desk was Amy. And I, instead of, you know, barking back, I'm like, what happened? I responded back and said, are you the Amy? Are you the Amy that used to have the radio show? When we first came on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, there was a person named Amy who had a weekly radio program that, of all things, was designed for the people who put on radio programs. And it was literally a grateful, helpful program. And you could go on there and ask questions, and they took calls and explained about everything from the help desk to how to do an open, how to do a close. And so I think we learned a lot from that broadcast. And I was pleased to get a response back that said, yes, I'm that Amy. So we extend our gratitude out to Amy, and our listeners should do the same, because this is a better program for that program. I think they helped quite a few in the early days of the programming. So that was a very special time, and I say early days of programming, I refer to on this network. Don't put her back there, you know, with the early radio days, but no, very, very kind that they support us that well. And I said there were two major events today, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the second one as well? I'm turning the pressure up now. I'll say,
do I get a hint?
Well, we're going to breathe new life into you. How about that?
Breathe new life into me. No. Wow. I'm stumped.
It is Frankenstein Day. So for those of you who would like to breathe some new life in, or, you know, maybe go for a new look, You know, if you're just sort of feeling dead this morning and can't get on your feet, that's okay. It's Frankenstein
alive.
Day.
It is alive.
Did you know? Did you know that when originally written, that was intended to be a Christian lesson?
No.
Because, yes, it was supposed to emphasize that, you know, God is the creator, God is the emphasis of life, and that when we try to take things into our own hands, it's when we will have problems. And, of course, it became, you know, a little more worldly. But it's good, I think, to get that lesson. You know, the character, the doctor, was name was actually Frankenstein, and his creation. Maybe that's a good thing for us to think about, because our old nature should pass away, and there should be a newness of life. So let's consider that as well. And if you have this newness taking place in your life, I think then when we deal with the issue of loneliness, for those of you who have been desperately clinging, trying to figure out how is he ever going to segue back to the topic, yes, it's a newness. We're not in our old nature in the world. And even as Christians, you know, we can experience loneliness. We can feel like nobody really is hearing and experiencing what I'm dealing with. And so it's important to realize, even if not especially as believers, that we will deal with things in this world, we will have discomfort, but we need to be prepared to look for God in the moments and try to turn things around. So we're going to start turning things around the best of ways. Jim, would you open us in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we offer a prayer of comfort for Christians to move beyond loneliness, taking full advantage of your wisdom in their lives. Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. How grateful we are that you created us. That word created just conjures up so much. Created us, provided for us, and given each of us a purpose, a godly purpose. We stop and think, why am I here? What is this all about? Is this all there is? No. We have a purpose. Help us identify that purpose, Father. As we study your word tonight, we ask that your Holy Spirit move among the listeners and touch the ones who need to step out in faith and accept your Son, Jesus. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him deliver. And Father, may those words fall on those who are lost. May they seek and receive by faith, the only way to come to you, by faith, your grace and salvation. It's in the name that's above all names that we make this prayer. It's in the name of our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Jim. And I trust that our listeners really will have the right focus, whether you're listening this evening of the end of the day, or whether you are maybe just starting your day out. Maybe you're closing the week out. Maybe you listen to our Friday rebroadcast, or you're any of the times around the clock you can be listening to the archive. Whatever's going on in your life, I realize it is very easy to fall into the trap of loneliness. And I do consider it a trap. It is not a way of life. But sometimes I think people can feel like, no, that is my life. That is what I deal with day in and day out. We go through the motions. We walk into the office, or we can go to a very busy place. It's always amazed me the fact that you can be in a crowd, a room full of people, walking the streets of a place like New York or just any place where there's a massive group of people, and yet still feel totally isolated and alone, until you're able to make some kind of connection. I think the Christian does have an advantage, and that advantage is the fact that we carry a person inside of us. It is the fact that we have the very Spirit of God that can communicate with us and lead us. You sometimes may say, well, I've been a Christian for years, and I've never experienced that. I'm not talking about mumbo-jumbo. I'm not talking about something where I'm going to fall down frothing and babbling. And I'm talking about that still small voice, that inner voice that, you know, when you start to second guess yourself, or when you're starting to feel, I say, that, you know, there's that two natures that's constantly warring with inside you. There's that one that wants to defeat you. That's that old sin nature. And, you know, I think sometimes people think old sin nature, so that must be a voice that's telling me to go be vile, wicked, and go shoot somebody. No, I mean, extreme case. But the reality is a lot of times it's just that voice saying, you can't. Why try? They don't like you. Don't say it. If you speak up, nobody's going to appreciate what you have to say. And that's a shame, because that is not as still or a small voice as you would like to think, especially if you've been not feeding and getting into the Word on a daily basis. That's our enemy. That's our adversary trying to whisper to you and tell you you can't, when God is trying desperately to communicate to you that you can. It's not that God shouts, except for in the quietness of the storm. Most often, I think he whispers to us. And that's because, you know, Jim, have you ever taken a speech class, a marvelous invention for humiliation? Have you ever had one?
I can't recall one. I think I did back in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall that it, as you can tell, it didn't
it didn't overwhelm you. Okay. No, I mean, I endured them. And I say that because I'm a very introverted person. I'm not comfortable in talking to people, as you can tell, because that's why we almost run over every week. But, no, that is a reality. I grew up in a family of talkers, which means I didn't get a word in. When I went to, I guess it was junior high, up to that point I'd been trying to talk, been doing a pretty good job. And then, so they had what they called a speech specialist, not to be confused with an actual trained professional on staff at the junior high. And so
right.
They had paraded all the students through, and they gave us their feedback, and they told me that I had a horrible lisp and was wondering how did I deal with that. And up until that moment, I didn't know I had one. And so, and believe me, if you're in junior high, if somebody's, at least back in the day when I went to junior high, if you had something like that, people would have kidded you enough. You would have known about it, right?
Yeah.
So a day or two at home, and I've got my mom wanting to know, even my siblings are wanting to know, what's wrong? What happened? You've stopped talking. And I explained to them, I said, well, you all never told me what a horrible lisp I had. If I sound that terrible, I don't want to talk. And so I pretty much shut down, and that's when I became an introvert. And by the way, if you have a lisp for real, don't let it be that to you. And by the way, apparently, according to some people, I do have a lisp, and I make a conscious effort about it. But I have to be very cautious, because that first instinct is the devil will whisper, you know, do you really want people to laugh when you talk, you know? And if it's humor, I don't mind, by the way. But, you know, if it's a lisp, it's very difficult. So I don't know if I do or do not have a lisp. Sometimes I think I do. But it's always that little voice that I'm hearing back in junior high from this so-called professional telling me I had a lisp. And, you know, that was difficult. I shut down for a lot of years. Then I took a speech class. And taking a speech class, and that's why I say it is a tribute to embarrassment, a speech class. They will have you stand up, and they will challenge you, and they will test you, and they will critique you. If there's a way to be embarrassed, take a speech class. You'll learn just about every one of them. But, I mean, it's necessary. It really is. If you want to push through, it's necessary. But it's not an easy experience. It's like taking voice lessons. Any singer knows that if you're looking for a competition for most embarrassing things that can happen, you'll take voice lessons because it's hard. But, you know, anything you want to get better at, it's not going to be that easy. But it's okay, because if it's the prize you're after, if it's the goal you want to achieve, it's worth the effort you put into it. Now, I keep saying all of this because of the fact that we hear those voices in our heads, the enemy speaking, telling you that you lisp, you can't talk, people will laugh at you. Why do you try that? That goal you want to achieve that's so important to you. You know, it's funny. You know, I've run for office on several occasions, and I was starting to feel like Richard Nixon. I always remembered his classic lines that, well, they're not going to have me to kick around anymore, you know, after he lost
right.
one of his elections. And it was one of several he had lost, which is why he was feeling that way. But, you know, you also win, and I'll admit it, winning beats losing by considerable amounts. It's a much better feeling. But it takes effort. It takes consistency. Now, in addition to that, there's this other wonderful voice in your head, and that is the very Spirit of God speaking to you. By the way, he speaks to you easier when you read more scripture, because I don't think God feels like you need a brand new divine word to pop in your head when he's already written you a book full of encouragement and examples. So the more scripture you read and commit to your heart, and mind, and memory, the more scriptures he can recall for you and bring up in your head. And you can recall when you're facing a situation all the things that God has said about that. Maybe it's just that one nugget you need at that moment that's very powerful. You know, I remember some years ago when I was trying to make the decision to quit a secular job and come into full-time Christian service. You know, I had these marvelous conversations going down the road with God, and basically I was reasoning. I was trying to think. You know, I wasn't shouting out to God. I was just thinking like, all right, well, you know, if I stayed in this job for X number of years more, well, then I would be eligible for a retirement or a higher retirement. And it was in that moment, it's like I heard this little voice saying, because then you won't have to rely on me. Isn't that great? And I'm thinking, that is not what I'm saying, God. And, you know, I bantered back and forth with that until one day I realized maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just a series of excuses. And God was reminding me of scriptures about trusting him and walking with him and relying on him and that he supplied my every need, that I realized one day, I said, no, if that's what the excuse is, and I'm forget that, you know, I want God more, period.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean everything got easy. It just meant that I had nailed down my commitment. And so when the difficult, the hard times came, I felt pretty locked in about there was not being placed on the table the option, well, then maybe I should give up. Maybe I should turn around. No, it was always a matter, now I'm committed. And I submit to you that if you are dealing with loneliness or depression or fears, you need to start listening to God more, put more of his word into you. And in the process of doing that, start nailing some things down. You know, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You nail down that fact and you don't have to spend your days wanting, longing, feeling like you're one of those who don't have. Because he promised you he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You say, well, I want somebody that'll put their arm around me and sit down with me and spend time with me. God will spend eternity with you. Yes, I know precisely what you're saying. I'm not stupid. But I'm telling you, you start by valuing the comfort you have, because in doing that, you become the person somebody else would want to spend more time with. You know, that's what's so important. 1 Samuel 12:22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Did you catch that? For his name's sake? There's a lot of promises in God's word that has that little phrase in there or a variation of it. What God is saying in that moment is that he's going to be your comfort. He will guide you and protect you, and he's putting his name's reputation on it. In other words, it's like, you know, I sign a contract and said, it'll happen, and I've given you my word on this. It's going to take place. If not, it reflects back on me. That's what God just said about him comforting, supporting, encouraging you, his child, Christian. He's saying, it's on my name's sake. In other words, if I don't come through, it reflects poorly on me, and I'm not going to let it come back on me. Now, Jim, just before we went on air tonight, was praying, and I heard him say something that just really stuck with me. I'm going to repeat it back to him and ask him to speak a little bit about this, because I think it does wondrous things about keeping our focus and our attitude that protects us from feelings of loneliness, depression, frustration. When Jim was praying earlier for us and for our program before we went on air, he said, God, I tried to spend the week trying not to ask you for things, but just to praise you. Jim, would you talk about a little bit about that? And I think you'd have to be honest. When you're focused that way, it's a little hard to feel depressed and frustrated and alone. Would you share a little bit about that, Jim?
Thank you, Pastor. I'd be happy to. I run the 3-mile loop in Memorial Park, and I run it as hard and fast as I can because I don't do any long runs to prepare for the marathon. But I feel like over the years, it served me well because it's so hot and I really make myself work. So when I finished my run, I'm walking back to the house, and there's a little grove adjacent to a Catholic church between my house and the Memorial Park running trail. And there's a little grove, and there's some chairs sitting out there. And I just sat down. It just happened, Pastor. It wasn't premeditated. And I just looked over and just saw how beautiful the trees, the sky, the clouds. I was thinking about what it takes to exercise and run. And have you ever done this? Have you ever thought of how intricate and how deep a device is our bodies? And I was watching a guy run, and he was just struggling so hard to run. And I thought, think about this. God has created a human being, and the muscles pull the bones and make things possible. The eye sees things, the ears hear things, the mind, just having a mind to be able to consider things. And I was just overwhelmed at God's creation. So I was sitting there, and I just began to pray, and I said, Father, every time, here's what I need. Here's what I'd like to have. I'm thinking about this person and that person. And the truth is, that's all I do. You've heard or read that Jesus said, don't just make repetitious prayers. And I stood accused. And I thought, that's what I do. He already knows what I need. I'm asking for other stuff that I want. And then it occurred to me, you have not because you ask not. So I still think asking and praying about things you'd like to have or see done is still important. But then I started, almost like our voting turnout, I thought, how many, expressed as a percentage, how many times do I hit my knees and say, Father, I just want to praise you. Today I want to praise you. And then I think about all the people that I pray for every morning, family, friends, those that have come into my life that need God to superintend their lives and to help them see the truth. And it just occurred to me, I do that without even thinking, how many times and expressed as a percentage have I just wanted to spend time with God and to praise him and to thank him? And so I've been making a conscious effort this week to do that. And it has changed my perspective a lot. I have to admit, I do things for approval, man's approval. And I also do things for God's approval. I need, part of my makeup is I need affirmation. I need to know that I'm pleasing you. And so I thought, what have I been doing all these years and to the exclusion of just thanking God and praising him? And so this week has been kind of a metamorphosis for me. I am trying to incorporate more praise and more thanking God for what we have. I mean, I'm a complainer, Pastor. It's got to be right. It's got to be perfect, or I'm not happy. I'm going to complain. And I'm ashamed of myself sometimes because I very seldom ever say, Father, you've put us in the United States of America. And for those that are not in the United States, you probably feel this way about your country too. But we feel so blessed, and we have seen God's hedge of protection around this country. And it just humbles you to imagine how we just, we expect it. It is a given. We don't even think about it. We are just so blessed that we don't even take the time to acknowledge it. So I believe that it's important in our prayer life. And prayer, I think, Pastor, you would agree, prayer is not just, oh, it's 6:30 in the morning, it's time for me to pray. No, I think prayer is you're seeing a situation, a difficult situation coming, and you can say, Father, I need your help. red alert, all hands on deck, I need your help. And we think nothing of doing that. But I think a close relationship with your Heavenly Father, you start to trust Him more and more, and you start to ask Him for everything, and we seldom take time to praise Him. So it just started as something occurred to me on the walk home from running in the park. So I think it's the right course, and it's making me, it has made me ashamed for a while, and now I'm trying to make up for it. What are your thoughts, Pastor? You ever do that?
Well, that's what I say. I think we sort of run the gamut. By the way, that was your klaxon that was sounding. It came in a little late, but that was your alarm going off. but, you know, we do run the gamut, and we do feel those ways. I thought it was interesting. By the way, something you said in there, you referenced, it occurred to me. And then you referenced either a piece of scripture or a scripture principle. And I think, again, people get a little hung up on thinking, well, I don't ever hear the voice of God, you know. And I think they think that's almost on the edge of being creepy. And, no, God is not creepy. Let me clarify for you, because I do think that's a point of confusion for younger Christians or even people who have been born again for some time but still just don't really understand how that works. But you notice he said, it occurred to me. And then you hear this scriptural principle running through your head. I think that is what I mean a lot of times about the voice of God in us. It's mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we are trying to discuss something. We're trying to work it out in our head. Like, well, you start thinking about what would be the reason to do something or why you couldn't do something. And then a lot of times as this is going on, you begin recalling a piece of scripture. You begin recalling a scripture principle. It may even be that it's like it plays back in your head a sermon you heard one time. And it's there instantly with clarity. You know, I think the it occurred to me moments are a lot of times are the voice of God in your head. And
right.
So, I mean, I think people are obsessing about they're expecting a thunder. They're expecting to be slapped to the ground. You know, and when they wake up and get up, they're going to be like, you know, Moses. People are going to sort of bash away from you because they see your face is glowing and like radiation, and they're thinking, oh, you've been spending time with God. You know, the reality is well, that's true. I mean, that is me on a Monday morning. But I think sometimes they can tell that you've spent time with God because you will come to the table, figuratively speaking, with a greater sense of awareness, with a greater source of wisdom. Your decisions will be sounder, your response time quicker, and that what you have to say, well, people will recognize, wow, that's deep. You know, that's more than what you would normally have said.
Right, and right.
To me, that is those principles coming out. You know, Jim, if there's a quality about Jim that I do find objectionable, is he puts himself down way too often. See, Jim is a man of faith that I trust and have confidence in, that I see God's hand on. And that's not the man I want to hear ever put down, even if it's by him. So remember that, Jim. Stop doing that. But
Thank
if you're
you,
out
Pastor.
There and you're
it's,
trying to honor God, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you for that, for saying that. And I do joke around too much sometimes, but you know, there's in Jeremiah 29, there is scripture that you and I have used this quite a bit because it just captures the moment. You remember Jeremiah 29, there's three verses right in a row, 11, 12, and 13. Very, you use it all the time. I do too. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And I think of loneliness here. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, the King James, expected end, which has been interpreted future. Then, the next verse, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go, hear this, go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. And we've looked up the word hearken. It means to give careful attention to. And ye shall seek me, this is verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, doesn't that speak to how to combat this feeling of loneliness?
I think it really does. Also, that little phrase, and their expected end, do you realize God has an expectation for you? He's already painted the picture saying, in essence, you know, walk in my will, listen to my words,
yeah.
You know, seek me. And by the way, remember the other scripture about early will I seek you. As we do those things, there is an expected end. Now, we use that concept usually negatively. You know, you're talking to a young person, well, if you keep doing that, you're going to end up in trouble. You keep doing that, you're going to be on the streets. You keep doing that, you're going to wind up in jail. Did you ever think of the flip of expected end? And that's how God's using it. He's saying, if you seek me, you will find me. That's the expected end. You're going to know what it is to spend time with God. If you honor him, if you walk in his perfect will, then he can bless you, he can refresh you, he can restore you. That's the expected end. You know, when you honor God with your life, the expected end is success, it's victory, it's not loneliness, it's joy and peace. So the expected end is a good thing. You know, it might not be a bad thing for you to pen that down or put it on a sticky note and stick it to your monitor and put it somewhere, put it on your mirror at home so you see it, so that when you're getting up in the morning and you're feeling just a little tired and stressed and you see it, you look at that, and in that moment you're thinking, the expected end is not discouragement. The expected end is not I'm feeling alone, whether even if I'm in a crowd, the expected end is I will feel complete and whole in the presence of God. And that doesn't mean or matter whether you are alone walking in the woods, alone in the car driving, or alone in a room full of people. And those of you who have felt that feeling know precisely what I'm speaking of. Your expected end is that you're going to suddenly feel this incredible wave of peace come over you as you realize, I am walking in his perfect will at this moment. Whether anybody in this room gets it or not, I've got this perfect peace going. And that is a very different way to live. You know, we're running out of time as usual. I know that's a news flash. And I'm going to ask Jim to pray in a little bit. But I wanted to share one more thing before we move on from this. A gentleman that pretty much I know simply is Brother Danny. And Brother Danny is a very strong man of faith. You know, let me share a couple of things from him. In a recent note I got from him, he said, I got saved when I was 26, gloriously saved, the happiest man on earth. He had lost his parents when he was very young, and now to know that Jesus loves me and died for me, I cried and I cried with gratitude. I've had numerous letters from him, or emails actually. He said he didn't learn about computers until 2002, and one of the first things he learned is that he could email ministries. One of the first ones was the Billy Graham Association. He sent prayer requests to them, and to realize others were praying for him meant so much to him. And even now he has a list of people that he will email prayer concerns and praises and things of that nature. The thing that particularly humbled me recently in this most recent contact I had from him, he says that he sends that email out and he usually only has two people that ever write back. And he was thanking me because I happen to be one of those two people. Now, that's not to my praise at all. I just felt it was the right thing to do. And, you know, if people do share from the bottom of their heart with you about something that's going on and you pray for them, then it's good to let them know you pray. Having said all of that, I don't know what you picture Brother Danny as, or whether he sounds too spiritual for anything you can relate to, or whether you think, well, sure, he can do all that, because, I mean, if I had it easy, I could do that. But I don't have it easy, Pastor Charles. Well, guess what? Brother Danny is a senior citizen, and he finds himself these last couple of years living on the streets of New York alone. He has become homeless through a chain of events that could happen to anybody. Doesn't make him a bad person. What makes him strong is his trust and his faith. And at various times I've had emails from him where, you know, he's only praying to have a warm place tonight, only praying that people won't bother him when he tries to rest tonight, won't steal from him. And yet he continues to lean on God and look for the answers by faith. And even though things haven't resulted in him having a plush home and an easy life at this moment in time, he still feels complete in Christ. And his food, he continues to have a place to stay each night he has, and even still manages to find access to where he can send out the email from time to time. And I send him a message from time to time, trying to just make sure he's still all right. You say, across the miles, I can't physically walk down the street and help him, but at least I can offer him a word of encouragement and pray for him. And I find him still to be a man of faith through difficult times. And perhaps this day that you're dealing with as you listen to this is a difficult day for you. I need you not to be a Brother Danny. I need you to be you, a person of faith who will turn to God in your moment. If you're not a Christian, Jim will share with you how you can become one. And if you are a Christian, I need you to remember the very Spirit of God indwells with you. And he is only literally a prayer away. And don't think that that means you have to fall to your knees and get in a dark closet and meditate. Sometimes my most powerful prayers have been me in the midst of a crowded room, and while everybody else is chattering away, just me and God having this conversation in my head, hearing his response and peace that he can provide as I just pour it out in my heart and soul to him. He awaits to hear your requests. He is that still small voice, because remember I started to bring up about speech class. One of the things they taught us was some of your strongest points are not the ones you shout about. Some of the strongest points are the ones you whisper. Because as you get softer, the audience will get quieter and will lean forward in their seats trying to hear. And they will pull in those most important of words that you have to share. And believe me, when God whispers with a still small voice, you want to lean in and hear every word he has to share for you. And right now, I want you to lean in and hear the words that Brother Jim has to share with you right now.
Thank you, Pastor. I think this is just an added scripture. This is Micah 6, verse 8. He hath shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If today you're feeling lonely, you're feeling alone, and what good is life, I think one of the things the pastor would agree with me on is this is a season. This is just for a time. There'll be a day you'll look back and say, boy, I remember when I was going through this, and I just am reminded that what we go through in life many times is to prepare us to help someone else. So there may be a day you look back and you're able to minister to somebody around you and say, boy, I went through a season, it was lonely, and I heard the plan of salvation, and it changed my perspective. So if you're not a Christian today, listen to this closely. This is Paul writing to in Romans. He says that if thou shalt confess, and I want to focus on that word in a moment, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that verse, talking about confession, what are we confessing? We're confessing that we are sinners. Is there anybody that isn't a sinner? No, not one. We're all sinners. We need to confess, yes, Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. And then he goes on to say, believe in thine heart. Now, how do you believe? It takes faith. It takes faith. You got to step out, put your chin out there, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, when you say raised him from the dead, we have victory over death. When you step out, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and just remember that God raised him from the dead, you no longer have to worry about death. There is afterlife. There is more than just what we have here on earth. So you have that to look forward to, that Jesus has conquered death. How fantastic is that? Verse 10, for with the heart, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, his righteousness is imputed to you. God doesn't see your sin any longer. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. There's no atonement for sin without blood. So Jesus did it once and for all on the cross. His shed blood is our righteousness now. And with the mouth, confession, there's that word again, is made unto salvation. So if tonight you're stepping out in faith, you can't do it any other way, you must step out, and I promise, as Pastor Charles will endorse, he'll say that there will be a peace come over you. You will never, ever be able to explain it. I have never been able to. I don't think Pastor Charles can explain it. It's a peace that comes over you. Confess that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. And remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. We have victory over death. So if you've done that tonight, you are saved. That's the requirement for salvation. And if you have done that tonight, we would just ask you to write to us. Just send us a note, ask at askthepastornow.com, and just tell us, I got saved. I got saved tonight. And we would be happy. No charge. We'll send you some information to help you with your walk. So, Pastor, if tonight someone has stepped out in faith and accepted Jesus Christ, which is the requirement, there's no other way to come to God but through Jesus Christ. And just to remember, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If they do that tonight, what happens if a year from now they stumble and they do something terrible? They say something. Can I ever lose this salvation that I got tonight by accepting Christ? Can I lose that by something I do, say, or think?
Absolutely not. You have to remember that you're not the one keeping your salvation. Remember I mentioned earlier that reference in so often many passages where God is saying about it being on his namesake? Your very salvation is hinged on his reputation. He's not going to allow your salvation to go away. Think of it this way. The very Spirit of God indwells you. You're sitting in the hand of God, and you're sealed with the very Spirit of God. Think of Christ's hand over top with you. You are completely engulfed in the love of God and secured by him. His word says that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities, things present or things to come, can ever separate you from the love of God. That is the level of security that you have in Christ. And we need to get a hold of that and hold on to it tightly. David Earl Lawson is a person we've shared with before. He's been on our program, and he's done another CD has come out recently, referred to in the past. One of the songs on that CD is simply entitled, Help Me. Maybe this will help sort of clarify it for some folks.
Lord, help me walk another mile, one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone, all alone. Lord, help me smile another smile, one more smile. I know that I can't make it on my own. I never thought that I needed your help before. I thought that I could make it by myself.
Oh, by myself.
Now I know that I can't take it anymore. I can't take it with a humble heart and on bended knees. I'm begging you, please help me. Help me. Come down from your great white throne to me, to lowly me. I need to feel the touch of your nail-scarred hand. Lord, remove these chains of darkness and let me see, oh, let me see where I fit into your master plan. That I could make it by myself.
Oh, by myself.
Now I know that I can't take it anymore. I can't take it with a humble heart and on bended knees. I'm begging you, please help me.
To remember, if you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's there waiting for you to call out to Him. And if you are a Christian and you are struggling with something at this moment, this time in your life, know that you can call out to Him and He will, in fact, help you, because He is the God who so loves you. That's an important thing to understand about the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jim, thank you so much for being on the broadcast once again. Appreciate your testimony and your walk and your insights.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. It's always a pleasure. God bless.
Amen. And to all of you, I would like to maybe extend that time a little bit. Would remind you that you can click there in our comment description area and go out to the YouTube channel, and where there's more Bible teaching available to you. And some of it is in full lessons that might run 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Others of them are just topical short comments that you might find a blessing. And as always, please plan on being with us again next week, as we would ask you to join us as we continue and allow you to ask the pastor.
Don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com.